When we buy a TV, fridge, dishwasher or washing machine in this country, there's a sticker on it front and centre. We all know it. It's a 6-star rating that tells us how energy efficient the appliance is and, consequently, the impact it has on both the environment and our household budget through its running costs. And, of course, the more stars it has, the more efficient it is. So what would happen if we applied this kind of energy rating system to our food? Joseph Poor researches agriculture and the environment at the University of Oxford. He's with me now on Skype. Joseph, you're proposing applying this rating system across all the foods found in our supermarket shelves around the globe. What would it tell us?
So that information would provide the how much water a product's used, what kind of emissions it's creating, its impact on biodiversity and its impact on pesticide use. And these are some of the most important issues in terms of how agriculture affects the environment.
You've actually put together a sort of draft illustration, which we'll share on the Life Matters website. Just for those people who can't see it at the moment, visually, how would you propose it looks like on our labels?
I think you could use colour, so dark reds and light greens, as well as size, to convey dark red is bad, or high environmental impact, light and green is low environmental impact. And that kind of follows what you see on the EU energy label, for example, where you have a kind of red to green rating. So it's pretty straightforward to grasp what it's saying. And I think the fact is that agriculture is a sector that spans the multitude of environmental problems. It's not just 30% of our greenhouse gas emissions. Is also a sector that currently threatens 10,000 species with extinction. You know, it's a sector that's driving 80% of our nitrogen and phosphorus pollution. 95% of our water scarcity is driven by agriculture. So it's about conveying these multiple environmental issues in as simple a way as possible that will allow consumers and producers to change their practices and change how they consume.
So how is it that you would argue this system could be used and policed in a way that consumers would trust and therefore change their buying behaviours?
So one of the key differences with a label like this is you're looking at outcomes, and those outcomes are how much emissions were created per kilogram of, say, grain or per kilogram of meat or whatever. So rather than current approaches, which might be, say, let's encourage farmers to adopt organic farming or no-till, those are very prescriptive policies. This is a label that just measures what you've actually achieved, what the outcome is for the environment. So it's a lot more flexible in terms of the opportunities available for producers to change their practices. It just says, look, let's measure the end result, not how you've achieved it.
Oh, that's interesting. You're arguing that just because someone's organic doesn't necessarily mean they'll get a great rating across the board on this label.
Exactly. So organic can go different ways depending on the soil, the crop type, the location. It can also go different ways, not just environmentally, but also in terms of the bottom line. As you said, it might make sense economically for some producers, might not make sense for others. And that's the same with a whole range of different practices. So a label is just saying, use whichever practice makes sense for you as a farmer to cut your emissions, you know, to cut your impact on biodiversity. Let's just look at the end result.
Now, you've actually written about this and you talk about what's happened in China, where something akin to this has already been started. What's been seen in that country?
In China, a massive program engaged about 21 million smallholders, basically enabled them to quantify their environmental impacts using a digital tool, and then provided ways for them to flexibly reduce those impacts and increase yields. And the results were those farmers who used this program reported 12% yield increases and 20% cuts in emissions compared to farmers that didn't. You know, you've seen the same in Costco, which is a big retailer in America. Their organic egg producers just monitored their impacts just by actually understanding what their greenhouse gas emissions were. They found ways to cut them by 13%. So you're making it the case that farmers have to measure their impacts, communicate them to all the way up the supply chain. And that creates information that isn't there at the moment.
Globally, though, Joseph, isn't this going to cost a fortune not only to implement but also to police?
That's a good question. And what we've seen over the last 10 years is big advances in, firstly, how we can monitor and just understand environmental impacts. So we've got digital tools, like one example is FieldPrint in America, another one's Cool Farm tool in the UK, that are actually free to estimate your greenhouse gas emissions, estimate your impact on biodiversity even. Many producers are collecting it already. And to communicate information up complex supply chains, Unilever, for example, is actually targeting almost full traceability in their supply chains. So this traceability actually exists.
Okay, so let me just think about me being a food producer. In this case, let's say I'm a beef producer and this system's in place and I've done my data crunching, and because I produce meat, I know from the get-go that my farm is going to be less energy efficient in terms of emissions and biodiversity by the very nature of the choices I've made. That's going to be reflected on the labelling for my product on the supermarket shelves. Aren't I going to be enemy number one because all beef producers are going to be the worst polluters?
That's a good point. And so we looked at data from 40,000 farms around the world, and we looked at how environmental impacts vary for the same product. And what we found is that high-impact beef producers use 5,700% more land and create 1,000% more emissions than low-impact beef producers. So that says actually within beef, there's a huge, huge amount of variance between sustainable and far less sustainable producers. And to create a rewarding system, to create a system where we encourage change, labels that actually reflect what an individual farmer's doing versus penalizing the beef sector as a whole would actually be a way to access this variation and access all this potential to reduce these impacts.
My guest is Joseph Paugh. He researches agriculture and the environment at the University of Oxford, and he's written a piece in The Guardian suggesting it's time that global food systems adopt a kind of star rating system like we have for energy efficiency of our appliances, where you take into account various variables like biodiversity, pesticide use, water use, and impact overall on the environment of all the products produced on farm, and having that as a label on the front of our foodstuffs when they hit the supermarket. You say, Joseph, you've been part of a research team that looked at 40,000 farms output data across 120 countries, including Australia. And in a previous piece of research, you argued that if we want to turn around climate change, we could just all go vegan now. And suddenly methane output, emissions output, land use would all be changed remarkably. That isn't going to happen, of course. Let's be honest. Let's be pragmatic about it. But if our industrialized food systems were brought to account with this kind of labeling, what do you think that would do in terms of ameliorating the effects of climate change?
Well, let me just put a few facts on the table about what a vegan diet could actually deliver. So, you know, it would require 3.1, if globally we adopted a vegan diet, it would require 3.1 billion hectares less farmland. That's an area the size of the entire African continent. You know, it would reduce our greenhouse gas emissions by 25%, cut our nitrogen and phosphorus pollution in half, and water scarcity by a quarter. So, you know, this is an extremely powerful way to tackle environmental issues. But
it's also completely unrealistic. Let's be honest. It's never going to happen. Let's be politically pragmatic about that.
So that's where labels can come in. And if instead you labeled products with the environmental impacts of actual producers, because a small number of producers create a disproportionate share of the impact, specifically about 25% of producers create 55% of food's environmental impact, what you find is that by avoiding the highest impact producers, you can actually make a big contribution to emissions. So let me just put that back in context of the vegan diet. What we found is that by cutting our meat consumption and dairy consumption by 50%, by avoiding those highest impact producers, you actually achieve 70% of the benefits of the vegan diet. So this is where labels come in. It says, let's actually give consumers the information to make better choices in the shops and try and boost the power of those choices.
And also reward farmers who are doing right by themselves, right by consumers and right by the planet.
That's exactly right. You know, reward sustainable companies, enables sustainable eating, and it's actually a relatively simple and powerful change is a label, but it could be instrumental, I think, in halting and even reversing the degradation of our planet.
But I take it for that label to be trusted, Joseph, that label would have to be mandatory, not a voluntary code.
That's absolutely crucial. It has to be mandatory. So there are a few reasons for that. If you look at voluntary labels today, you've actually got globally about 460 of them. Something like 96% of companies, according to a Nielsen report, make environmental claims. And what you've also got on the other side is that you need to highlight high impact producers as well as low impact. And that's for two reasons. One is because, as I said before, 25% of producers create 55% of the impact. Two is because consumer research shows that shoppers are actually more likely to stop buying brands they perceive as unethical or bad for the environment rather than start buying those they perceive to be good, i.e. you need a negative signal in there. You need the positive and the negative at the same time, and you need a simple, consistent label across all products.
Well, if you've been listening and think that this is something as a supermarket consumer you could support, or perhaps not, we'd love to hear your reactions to Joseph's proposal. Email us lifematters@abc.net.au. Joseph Paul researches agriculture and the environment at the University of Oxford. Joseph, it's been great to talk to you. Thanks very much.
Yeah, thank you very much. It's been a pleasure.